the upper Midwest, Bishop Papraki, where weather is cold, folks kind of come out of the woodwork when weather warms up and there was a renewed sense of maybe I ought to get my body moving again, and it's a little easier when it's not 20 below and all of that. But do we think maybe too little of taking care of our body is part of taking care of God's creation, and ought we do more?
Well, a major premise of my book is that there's a close connection between body and soul. That's part of our theology, and it's very different from the philosophy of the ancient Greeks, who basically saw the body as kind of a shell, that you used your body, and then when you died, you discarded your body, and you would just, they believed in immortality, that you would be an eternal spirit, but you would just live in a spiritual state for all eternity. And that's not Christian teaching. We say in the creed, in fact, we believe in the resurrection of the body. And that's referring to us, not just Jesus. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but in doing so, he showed us his glorified body as a promise of what our glorified bodies would look like when we rise from the dead. And so that's a big part of our faith, is that, yes, when we die, there will be a temporary separation of body and soul. But when Christ comes again at the second coming, our bodies will be raised up in a glorified form. And so, you know, it's very important then, I think, that we take care of our bodies. So what I try to do in this book is make that connection. And I do see a strong connection. I know when I'm running, I feel better. If I don't run in the morning, I feel like something's missing. I'm not thinking as clearly. When I am running, I don't know if it's the oxygen to the brain or whatever, but or the blood flowing, that I feel better. I think better. And conversely, if you ask any marathon runner, they'll tell you the importance of a spiritual component to that. You just don't go out and run a marathon. You have to have deep inner resources to have the fortitude, to have the endurance in order to run that far, which is part of your physical training, but also your mental and your spiritual training. So what I do throughout the book, it's actually kind of a how-to book. I was asked by Ave Maria Press to write this book about running specifically. My previous book, Holy Goals for Body and Soul, was written more about a connection between God and sports and faith, and from a goalie perspective, a hockey perspective. But this one, they said, well, there's so many runners or people who are runners that may be thinking about running a marathon or who have never run that would like to get into this. Can you write kind of a how-to book? So I did, but what I did in this book was I wove the spiritual stories in with the stories about training and exercise. So it isn't like one chapter is about training for a marathon, the next chapter is about saying the rosary or praying. They go hand in hand. So for example, when I talk about doing a long run, your weekly long run, I talk about how I take a finger rosary with me, and I say the Hail Marys, I say rosaries while I'm running. And sort of make the connection between the two, I think, is an important step here.
Bishop Papraki, if you ask any athlete, and you know that diet is a very important part of your success, it's the literal fuel that allows you to train and improve. Please explain how confession and Eucharist are the critical keys, the fuel, if you will, for any spiritual strength that we expect to have.
Well, I outline 8 steps in this book, and they all start with the letter R. So it's review, reform, resolve, repeat, renew, relax, reward, rejoice. And there's a progression there with all of those that are related both in this spiritual world and in terms of exercising. So starting out with review, you review where you're at. And so from a physical point of view, you'd maybe look at yourself and say, gee, I'm out of shape. I have a hard time walking a block. You know, I need to get some exercise. I need to get my body in shape. I need to lose some weight. So you review. In spiritual life, we call that an examination of conscience, which we normally do before we go to confession. You look at your spiritual life and how you've been living. Am I living the virtues I should be living, or have I fallen into some vices that I need to, you know, confess my sins? And so that's the first step. Reform then is identifying what you need to do to improve. All right, so physically I'm out of shape. I got to do something about that. Spiritually, okay, I've examined my conscience, and you say, okay, how do I improve? These are the steps I have to take. One of them is going to confession. The next step, resolve, is, okay, I'm going to make up my mind to put this into effect. It's one thing to just sit there in your your chair and say, oh, you know, I need to do some more exercise. Well, the resolution is, okay, I'm going to get up 6 a.m. tomorrow, and I'm going to get out there at the beginning of the day. I'm going to run. And the same thing spiritually. I'm going to go to confession so that I can get back to the regular celebration of the Mass and go and receive the Eucharist frequently. A repeat is also very important. For when you're training for a marathon, you have to have a weekly long run, and you do that progressively, going further each week over an 18-week training program. And I run almost every day. So you can't say, well, you know, can't resolve and say, okay, I need to get running. You go out once and say, oh, that's good. I've done my run. You know, and the same in the spiritual life. You say, well, okay, I need to resolve. You go to confession, you receive, you go to Mass and you receive communion. You say, well, I'm good for the next 6 months or a year or whatever. No, it's got to be repeated. You got to keep doing it over and over again. So in that way, then that leads to the next one, renew. By doing this over and over again, we're renewing ourselves physically and spiritually. I put in a step also, relax, because even in a training program, it's a weekly progression of increasing your mileage, but we every 3 weeks or so, we put in what we call a cutback week, because you have to let your body recover. In fact, you build up to a 20-mile run 3 weeks before the marathon, and then and you taper, we call it. You cut back. And so we see that in the church as well, that we have days of fast and abstinence during Lent. But, you know, the fourth Sunday of Lent was Laetare Sunday. It was kind of, let's rejoice. Let's be happy about the fact that Easter is coming. So we need to do that again, both spiritually and physically. Reward, what we're looking to is the reward is I finished the marathon. Or in spiritual life, the reward, obviously, is eternal life with God and His kingdom. And that leads to the final step here is rejoice, that physically, you feel better, you feel happy, and you can rejoice when you've finished a marathon or when you whatever your training goal is. And then also in the spiritual life, that's what we look forward to is the joy of eternal life. That and we have to remember that too, because sometimes even in identifying these steps, it could seem like, oh, the Christian life is all about these tasks and these duties that I have to, things, obligations that I have to do. But the whole point of that is leading to the joy of being in communion with God, and the joy of eternal life.
Well, Bishop Papraki, I was just thinking for many, the Catholic way is, oh, this is tough, but it's good for you. You might not enjoy it, but it's good for you. Do we need that reminder that both physically and spiritually, doing these healthy practices will ultimately feel and do better?
Well, definitely. Well, we talk about the runner's high, and I can attest to that. I don't usually experience it while I'm running, but when I'm finished running, and it's not just the sense of relief, well, I got that done. But there's something about, you know, these they're natural chemicals that we have in our body called endorphins, and when you're exercising, your body in a sense is it's a natural painkiller, because whatever pain or discomfort you're feeling, your body is trying to adjust for that. And so I find when I'm done running, I guess my body is still producing some of those natural painkillers, and so it does make you feel better, and that feeling then lasts quite a bit. But also, it's not just in terms of that kind of euphoric feeling that that I get sometimes from running, but also in terms of the clarity of thinking. I mean, there have been times like when I'll be stumped by an issue, and I'm trying to figure something out. I just don't know what the answer is to this problem. And I'll go out for a run, and just in the course of running, something will click, and it'll kind of pop into my mind. Well, why didn't I think of that before? And I've written homilies while I'm running. You know, these ideas come to my mind while I'm running, and I get back, and I have to hurry up and write them down before I forget them. So it's and then conversely, when you are running, you have to be motivated to do that, even to get out the door. And so some of those spiritual motivations that you have in terms of seeking to be virtuous, and, you know, virtues are good habits and vices are bad habits. And so, you know, the habit of getting up and running every morning, even when you don't feel like it, that's a virtuous thing to do, to say, okay, I'm not particularly feeling like I want to run today, but I've got to do it. And so I go out there, and I usually find, you know, I'm not a morning person, so it's not easy for me to get out the door necessarily. But once I do, within a half mile or so, I've got the blood going, the oxygen going, I'm actually feeling pretty good.
I feel like we should be out running and having this interview. I feel guilty, Bishop Papraki, of just sitting here and talking to you. You talk about this in the book, and it's happened to all of us, athlete or not. You burn out. How do you avoid spiritual burnout?
Well, burnout, yes. I'd say a good way to prevent that is to have a spiritual director. You know, it's part of our seminary training that priests and religious, when a nun is preparing to enter the convent, for example, that you have a spiritual director, and that's someone you talk things over with. It's sort of like having a coach, you know, when you're training. So I found my first marathon, I trained by myself, and the next year, my second marathon, I joined the Chicago Area Runners Association, and so we had group leaders. I joined a track club. We had a coach. And when you've got a coach, you know, pushing you or even telling you to back off sometimes, that's a good thing because it helps to direct you and to motivate you. And so a spiritual director can do that for you, too. Sometimes people may think, well, a spiritual director is just going to lay tasks or burdens on you. Sometimes it actually works the other way, where people are maybe putting too many demands on themselves spiritually, and which could lead to burnout. And when you say to your spiritual director, for example, if you said, well, I'm going to give up alcohol, and I'm going to give up meat, and I'm going to give up desserts, and you're going to do all these things during Lent, your spiritual director is going to say, well, maybe that's a little bit too much. You've got to eat something. You know, so your spiritual director can help keep things in perspective. You know, like even almsgiving. Yes, we should give money to support different charities, the church, the poor. But you can't give everything away, especially if you have a family that you have to care for. You have to be prudent about the things you do. So I think talking about that with God in prayer, but also talking to a spiritual director can help to guide you on what is a prudent course of action for your spiritual life and help you to prevent burnout.
If you look at Lent as spiritual spring training, and then the rest of the seasons in the liturgical year is when you put all of that training to work. And this book is going to be an important part of growing as a Roman Catholic man or woman. It's from Bishop Thomas John Papraki, the Bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, from our friends at Ave Maria Press. It's called Running for a Higher Purpose, 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness. It really is a great book. If you're just getting into exercise, or maybe you're a runner, or maybe you can't do anything. There are a lot of things in this book that will help you grow, again, as a Roman Catholic man or woman. Bishop Papraki, we're always blessed with your time that you give us here on Relevant Radio. May we have your blessing, please, this morning?
Certainly. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask you to bless all the listeners of Relevant Radio, especially as we look at ways that we can improve our spiritual and our physical lives so that we may give greater honor and glory to you by the way we use our bodies and our souls. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.